The date is June 11th, 1999, and we're watching Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Yeah, baby. Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One. The show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and while regular co-host Colin Stewart is still taking a little time off, and regular substitute Aaron Knowles is not here, I'm instead doing Daddy Issues Month. So with me is the Scott Evil to my Dr. Evil.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Right on. So this week, we are looking back at June 1999, when the movies and theaters were Tarzan, Black Mask, Notting Hill, Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace, which
nice.
that's an important detail to highlight right there.
I can understand why. I think.
And of course, our movie for today, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, which earned $313.7 million on a $33 million budget.
Yeah, baby.
Like, crazy amounts of money that movie made. Like, insane.
Yeah. Especially in, I'm assuming, in theaters. And I can't imagine it did well internationally.
Well, I always take the international, like, number or the because money's right. Money
of course. But I imagine most of that figure being domestic is what I'm saying,
probably a good amount of it,
which that's impressive.
Yeah,
especially going up against one of the movies we talked about earlier.
That's right. Yeah,
was it its first opening weekend, or was it out for a few weeks at this point?
No, Star Wars had already been out for like a month at this point or something. Okay. Like that.
Just so you know, it is a 25-year-old movie. It is almost as old as I am, so just a little bit older. June 11th, so just a month older than me.
Yeah.
2 months older
two
than
months
me.
Older than you.
But so, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it. Go and watch the first one just to...
If you haven't seen that one,
Why are you here, by the way?
This we're on is a sequel.
The second in the franchise. That being said, last week we were a little bit out of order for our Batman, so...
Yeah, that's true.
This one, though, we are doing in order. We have done Austin Powers before. But anyways, 25-year-old movie, spoiler alert. We're going to be talking about it in detail.
Yeah. Okay, so I found 9 taglines this week.
I feel like, you'd get into a rhythm.
Yeah, well, number 1, I'm back, baby.
Yep,
you knew that was coming. Number 2, I'm coming again, baby. But that one was in Australia only, but I guess only the Australians can handle that filth.
I was going to say, it must have been censored other places, but...
Well, number 3, The Return of Dr. Evil. I like that twist on it.
Okay.
Number 4, You Were Expecting Someone Else.
That's good, that's good.
Yeah. Number 5, Double O Behave.
That's also very good.
Yeah.
I can see you getting into a role with these.
Yeah, exactly. In the writer's room, they're just pitching out ideas. Exactly. They're like, oh, hey, I've got another one. Well, number 6, they get a little bit longer. First, he fought for the crown. Now he's fighting for the family jewels.
That one is so far my least favorite.
Yeah. Well, number 7, he's back. He's even bigger and he's up for it. There should have been a penis pump joke on that one.
That's
a tagline for a penis pump, not this movie. I mean, that's what she said written all over it, right?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, number 8, see, this is why I say, you know, you have to know that Star Wars came out, because 8 and 9, here we go. Number 8, The British Empire Strikes Back.
Very nice.
Yeah. And finally, if you see only one movie this summer, see Star Wars. But if you see 2 movies this summer, see Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
That's my favorite one. That's a whole paragraph they put at the bottom of the poster.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, it may not be a very good description, so let's go to Chris and get a 60-second synopsis.
It's 1999, and our favorite Shagadelic spy from out of time is back. Unfortunately for him, after a rude awakening in the form of his new wife becoming a Dr. Evil fembot, Austin embraces single life and accepts Dr. Evil's call to adventure. Dr. Evil is back!
Like the poster tells you. Yeah.
After escaping into space in the last movie, this time his henchmen have made enough money through strategic Starbucks investments to create a time machine for their leader and perfect a clone at one-third proportion. Naturally, with a time machine, the smartest strategy is to extract your enemy's mojo while they are helpless. And with the help of an incredibly suspicious, incredibly fat Scottish guard, Dr. Evil succeeds in his goal of taking Austin Powers' mojo, making himself Shagadelic. With this newfound mojo, Dr. Evil begins his newest evil scheme of building a laser on the moon, which Austin Powers could never hope to thwart without his... Anyways. Meanwhile, in 1999, Austin has lost his mojo during an evening with Ivana Humpalot. Fearing the worst, he partners with British intelligence and travels back in time to 69 to thwart Dr. Evil, but more importantly, get his mojo back. Will he get it back? Or was he just nervous around Heather Graham? Because I would be too.
Nice. For an audio format, I mean, I wish everyone else could have seen all the quotation fingers, but
you
can hear them. You can hear them. Yeah. So, oh boy, Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me. I
gotta say, with that synopsis, especially with the time travel aspect, mm-hmm. it's really hard to like write a coherent one.
It really
jokes,
is. Yeah.
So.
Once you get timey wimey, like the whole series kind of. Goes off the rails a little bit. So, the Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me is one of those movies I remember I was so excited for it. I was a huge Mike Myers fan in the day because he was part of my cast of Saturday Night Live growing up. You know, it was him and Dana Carvey. And so, I was there for anything Mike Myers, and so I liked the first Austin Powers when this came out. I was part of that $330 million that this movie made. So, what can I say? It's Austin Powers. It was, you know, that's my history with Austin Powers. So, Chris, you know, previously you have said that you were a huge fan of the first one, and I know firsthand experience you had a lot of viewing parties of this movie with some of your friends. So, what is your history with Austin Powers 2?
I love Austin Powers. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Top three is in no particular order: Austin Powers, Rush Hour, and The Dark Knight. Okay. So, Austin Powers holds a very special place in my heart. I've seen the first two a billion times. I don't even know how many times. How many cups of coffee have you had in your life? It's kind of hard to pin down at this point how many times I've seen it. Like he was saying, I used to watch it just religiously with friends growing up. So.
Yeah.
The third one, however, Gold Member, I'm not as well...
Bit of a blind spot, yeah.
Not as well versed with. I haven't really seen that one as much. It's not my favorite. That one definitely... Not that we're talking about it, but it's out of my wheelhouse. Well, but the first two are within said wheelhouse.
What's funny is, as I watched this, I did not remember it as well as I thought I would. And... I was waiting for scenes from the third one to show up in this movie, and they never did, right? Like, Fred Savage.
Yeah.
Or, especially with Fat Bastard, I was waiting for the bathhouse scene where he fights in a towel.
That's kind of, yeah, where I picture him, too. It's weird. I was, I watched this with my girlfriend, and she was saying it a lot of times during the movie. She's like, I'm surprised Mini-Me's in this one. Because he's such an iconic part of the franchise that it's like, oh yeah, he's only introduced in the second one. And I kind of had to take a step back and be like, oh yeah, he's not in the first one, but he fits in so perfectly. And there's a lot of bits too, like a lot of bits where it's like, oh, that's not from the first movie. This isn't a repeat bit. This is a second movie.
And especially when they bring back characters that canonically died in the first movie, like Will Ferrell's character.
But that
one is timey-wimey. But even
exactly,
number...
that's back in time.
Even the fact that number two is back in a position of power in this organization. It's like he walked away in the first one with a suitcase full of Fembot.
Yes.
So, well, let's jump into Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, directed by Jay Roach, who directed the first one, produced by John S. Lyons, Eric McLeod, Jennifer Todd, Suzanne Todd, Demi Moore, yes, that Demi Moore, and Mike Myers, and written by Michael McCullers and Mike Myers. And so there we go. We are officially into the movie. This movie, speaking of Fat Bastard, is the only film in the Austin Powers franchise to receive an Oscar nomination. And it was
Oscar
for
nom.
Best makeup because of Fat Bastard. Yeah.
I was going to say, Sam... Who did the effects? Sam... Now I have to Google it because I remember it being a well-known
Sam
name.
Sam Winston? Is it a Sam
I
Winston
think
studio show?
That's okay. That's a...
I mean, Sam Winston is who you want to go to for anything creature. I mean, he made the Predator. He made the Alien. He made fucking Freddy Krueger.
Stan Winston.
Yes, sorry.
Not Stan. Sam. Sorry.
Wow.
Yes. But yes, the Stan Winston workshop or whatever I saw at the very end of the movie. So
yeah,
it makes sense that they would get, but what a weird one. It's like the South Park movie being
getting the best. Or Eminem getting an Oscar nomination for
that one makes
Hard
sense.
Out Here for a Pimp.
Oh, No. He didn't. He got Oscar for 8 Mile. Hard Out Here for Pimps from a different movie. No.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But Hard Out Here for a Pimp is one
also
of those
an
weird
Oscar
ones.
Nominee.
Wasn't
yes.
that the same year as South Park? Even it was those
it
two up against
been.
Each other.
Yeah. I don't even remember. But well, so we open this movie and actually, you know what? I want to play a game here with the title, because I found as I was looking through that so many other countries had banned the word shagged to be used as the title for this movie. So we were talking about how it might have done internationally,
right?
But it's, you know, so the word shag, I mean, it was used in the UK.
I was gonna say that seems like the place where it would be banned, because it's
yeah.
Like, nobody thinks of shagged as a sexual term in North America.
Yeah, no, it was still used in the UK, though. But the Norwegian title is The Spy Who Ejaculated on Me, is what it translates into. Yes. The German title translates to The Spy in the Secret Missionary Position. Yeah, Croatia, it's The Spy Who Groped Me.
That one's not so good.
The Spy Who Groped Me, yeah. In Brazil, it's The Spy Good in Bed. Yeah.
Okay.
In China, it's The Spy Who Liked Me a Lot.
That one's very kosher. I like
that. Singapore, it's The Spy Who Shioked Me, and Shioked means treated nicely. So, The Spy Who Treated Me Nicely. And
treated nicely, like in a sexual way, or just treated nicely in that language? Because I know Japanese, for example, there's like.
Well,
I'm getting excited.
Dirty, yeah.
Versus I'm getting excited.
Yeah, they treated me right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And finally, the Malaysian title, it's The Spy Who Behaved Very Nicely Around Me. Yeah.
South Asia has a very particular theme.
Yeah.
I'd say even Asia,
just
because
in general,
China
yeah,
was also...
Started with China, yeah.
The Spy Who Likes Me a Lot.
Mm-hmm. So there we go. That's The Spy Who Shagged Me Around the World. Yeah, that's
The Spy Who Shagged Me Around the World. What country is that from?
That's every country.
Okay.
Yeah. So well, let's talk about this cast. Let's run down this cast, because this cast is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we have Mr. Mike Myers as Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, and Fat Bastard. How many times did you view this movie before you knew Fat Bastard was also Mike Myers?
I feel like Fat Bastard was one I clued in on because of the whole Shrek of it all.
Oh, okay.
But famously, if you haven't heard the first Austin Powers podcast, go listen to it first of all. But I didn't really know that Dr. Evil was a different...
But was also Mike
Myers.
Yeah,
it was also Mike Myers. For a lot of my viewings as a young child, I just assumed it was two actors and never thought of it. But
mm-hmm.
totally same guy. What a legend.
Yeah, and in addition to those three credited roles, Mike Myers is also the voice of the astronaut at the beginning of the film that says, "Oh, my gentle Jesus."
Okay, I was going to say the astronaut.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, at the beginning, okay.
Yeah, and apparently the love guru almost showed up in this movie.
Oh.
Early appearance of the love guru almost.
A prequel.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I don't know why he would have. I don't. I guess maybe to get his mojo back. Maybe that's.
Are these like characters that he had done on SNL? I know Wayne is.
No. These ones were all original to this franchise.
Okay. And yeah. Even the love guru, it never appeared on.
No. No. The closest is the fact that Dr. Evil is a lightly veiled Lorne Michaels impression. That's yes. The only connection to SNL that there is.
Which I love, because I remember for the first time hearing somebody do a Lorne Michaels impression being like, what the fuck? Why are you talking like Dr. Evil?
Yeah. And now, like, anytime I hear, and, you know, you listen to, like, Dana Carvey and David Spade's podcast, they bring on SNL people, and everyone has Lorne impression.
Oh, yeah, they're all so funny.
Yeah. Well, okay, so our leading lady, we've got Heather Graham as Felicity Shagwell. Apparently, she was on the verge of turning to porn. When she was asked to audition for this role.
God damn you, J.
Roach. Mike Myers saved her from a porn career.
God damn you, Mike Myers.
Yeah. Catherine Zeta-Jones is someone they wanted for Felicity Shagwell. Yeah.
So I'm assuming then Heather Graham was a nobody, or had she been in other things before this?
I don't know whether Boogie Nights, I don't know whether it predates
right,
this or not.
Right, because I was going to say,
roller skating girl,
what
in
a
that.
First credit.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's probably a couple other bit parts, if that's the case.
Quite possibly, yeah. Michael York returning as Basil Exposition. Robert Wagner is number two. Rob Lowe is young number two. Rob Lowe, I guess, already had a Robert Wagner impression in the chamber.
Right.
Because he once dated one of his daughters. So he already had this Robert Wagner impression.
I've written at some point in my notes that Rob Lowe does a fantastic number two, not the one you're thinking of, the impression.
Yeah. So Mindy Sterling returning as Frau Farbissina?
Yes, Farbissina.
Yeah. Seth Green as Scott Evil. So, I mean, you know, the subject of our Daddy Issues Month right here, Seth Green is Scott Evil.
I know Scott Evil plays a large part in the first one, but I feel like his role was amplified in this
one. I think
one
so,
for sure.
Yeah, because
yeah.
You've got the you've got the rivalry between him and Mini-Me. So,
oh, so
it's,
good.
Yeah, so Vern Troyer is Mini-Me. Yeah. Elizabeth Hurley is Vanessa Kensington. So she was in the middle of filming something at the time. That's
right.
Why the schedules didn't line up. So that's the only reason she didn't do a sequel. And then they're like, well, that's a James Bond thing anyway. He never has the same girl in two movies.
Right.
So, but she was able to clear her schedule long enough to do
that
one day of
scene,
filming
yeah.
for that scene. So I'm glad that they kind of tied it in like that with that.
When we get to that part during your synopsis, I have a lot to say about that. But also, yeah, I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah. Gia Carides? It's probably Spanish that I can't pronounce right. As Robin Spitz Swallows. Will Ferrell is Mustafa. Clint Howard, of course, makes an appearance. Kristen Johnson is Ivana Hopalot. Or Humpalot, Ivana Humpalot, yeah.
What is that, the international translation?
That's right. Jeff Garland as Cyclops.
Okay, I thought that was Jeff Garland, okay.
Yeah, Michael McDonald as a NATO soldier, even though he got run over by a steamroller in the first one. He's now a different person.
Right, yes. Yeah.
And then, of course, like, all the fucking just cameos. Elvis Costello, Jerry Springer, Steve Wilkos, Rebecca Romijn, Woody Harrelson,
yeah.
Charles Napier shows up as General Hawk. Tim Robbins is the president.
Yeah, I was going to say President Shawshank.
Yeah. Willie Nelson, Kevin Durant, Fred Willard. Like, how many friends does Mike Myers have that are like, fuck yeah, I'll do an Austin Powers movie? I mean, David Koechner is in this movie, Tony Jay.
Imagine how many people walk through SNL. Like, you probably just sit there making connections, yeah, like whenever you're there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jennifer Coolidge shows up for, yes, one scene. As
one
a woman
line.
The, yeah, yeah.
And I went, is that Jennifer Coolidge? She doesn't even really look like, yeah, Jennifer Coolidge. It was just the voice. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. My, yeah, ears pricked up.
Stifler's mom, yeah, right in the heart of it. Yeah. But, yeah. So there we go. Yeah. I mean, just huge fucking cast on this movie. I can't get over that. So, because we're in the summer of Star Wars Episode One, you know, we open this movie with a Star Wars crawl.
You got
to open it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we see the space shuttle with the big boy coming by. There we go.
I love that Star Wars came out. Like, I almost wonder if they planned it that way, because that's exactly what Moonraker sidestepped to do. They had a James Bond movie in the gun, ready to go. People signed on to do it. Star Wars took off and they went, oh fuck, people like space now, and then immediately rushed to put together a James Bond movie in
space,
and that's why Moonraker. So it's like, I wonder if they rushed to put together an Austin Powers movie so that they could do the space bit.
Well, I don't, it's possible, or maybe they just decided, even the Star Wars crawl would have been easy to tack on a completed movie.
That's just in space.
Yeah, yeah. Once they see how all the release dates are going to line up, it's like, oh, okay, no, yeah, we'll throw this on as a gag, extra gag to...
But the whole,
like one
potential Moonraker connection is... That's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then we go and see our hero then. We cut to our hero and Vanessa... And so you said you had a lot to say about this scene where we find out that Vanessa is a fembot.
Yeah, so we cut to where we left our protagonist in the last movie. That being said, though, I didn't go back and watch the last movie, but I'd be curious to what year he jumps forward to, because we just open up and it's 1999. We're just accepting it's 1999. So did he have a honeymoon for, 2 years? I'm assuming he woke up in 97. He might have woken up.
No, the previous movie, it was 1997, because he was in 1967.
Right, don't think about it, as they said.
Yeah.
But it's just a little thought experiment to the whole Vanessa Kensington being revealed as a fembot.
Mm-hmm.
What are the implications of Vanessa being a fembot this whole time? And was she replaced? Because if she's a fembot this whole time, is Mrs. Kensington also a fembot?
Oh.
Why'd she help Austin? This is going back to Vanessa. Why'd she help Austin defeat Dr. Evil if she was one of Dr. Evil's fembots in the last movie? Or was she sneakily kidnapped from the world's greatest super spy?
See, I feel like there is a moment in the previous movie where it could have switched, because there is one, the whole first half of the movie, she's like, you are never, ever, 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 ever going to get this. And then all of a sudden she's in love with him. So at that point, maybe that's where, that's my headcanon, at least, is that's where they switched her to a fembot, is when all of a sudden she wants Austin, and that's now the plan.
I like that. But then that means that this Dr. Evil run fembot, maybe number two run fembot, maybe this goes deeper,
trying to
take on the organization.
True.
But is helping to take down Dr. Evil in the first movie. Technically she lures Austin and is a damsel in distress at certain points, but also she's a kick-ass agent of her own right. Like, she does enough.
That's
to
true.
Take him down.
No, that that might be a stronger suggestion, is the idea that number two is
right. If he ran away with a suitcase
running
full
his
of
own
fembots.
Agenda on the yeah okay
interesting this
sure.
goes this goes deep I
yeah.
like this
yeah.
But anyways, that was it really threw me off right at the beginning of just, I like that we're just going with this and whatever. It's a silly spy movie, but yeah, what are the implications of her being a robot?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I've found funny, is because it's still a funny movie, but sitting down and watching it with a critical eye, all of a sudden it's like, this is a stupid movie. The first one is a better movie, I think. A much better movie. And so,
yeah, this one really, it didn't think about the logic of things. It just went, can we cram Austin being nude at some point and a bunch of things covering his junk.
Sure. Can opening we... credits. Here we go. You want to do the nude joke? We are, you know, in the first one, we took it from like just him. And at the end of the movie, it was him and Vanessa.
Yes.
And then like now we've got just a whole fucking musical number centered around hiding his penis.
And I got to say, in the first movie, tasteful. I love it. It's great. It's like well choreographed. This one, there are moments that are akin to the first one, but the fact that they just cover his junk with text a lot of the time, lazy.
It's very lazy. Yeah.
And it's just blurred. Like, technically, you could probably see his balls peeking out from behind a letter, but they've blurred, just wiped like Ken doll down.
Yeah, because there's the point where the baby has the pinwheel and it's going back and forth.
Yeah,
and then,
that's a good part.
And then
CG
when the pinwheel moves, letters.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it was going well there for a while. I mean,
exactly. Like a lollipop couldn't have popped up. Like he swapped it or something. But yeah. Just lazy. And a CG pinwheel, you couldn't have had an extra hold of pinwheel? Come on. Come on.
But yeah, he's single now. So he's dancing naked through the hotel.
Casino Royale.
A very impressive opening number, though. I mean, you know, like all you know, stupid dick jokes aside and all that stuff, it still is a big, fun opening, splashy number.
Which gold member goes, I think it takes it even a step further, right? That's the one with, like, Steven Spielberg's in the opening number.
Yeah, well, that's the one where they're filming Austin Powers, the movie, and it's starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
and
Danny DeVito as Mini-Me.
Now I have to go watch the third one.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
So after our opening naked dance number, we cut to the Jerry Springer Show.
Another fantastic opening to the movie. What a good idea. It's just so fucking funny.
R.I.P. Jerry Springer.
Yes,
here.
I wrote it there too. R.I.P. Everyone's favorite Chicago mayor.
That's right. And he's here, though. He's got Scott Evil. And, you know, he doesn't know that his father is actually alive. And so Jerry surprises him.
Yes. Well, he has a Nazi and his son and a KKK member and his son on. He also brings the head of an evil organization and his son onto the show.
Yeah.
But what a good fucking bit.
You are the margarine of evil. The Diet Coke of evil.
So many good lines in that. I love they cut to NATO headquarters at some point and Jerry Springer's on and underneath the TV it says current surveillance priority. Throw me a freaking bone here, Scott.
I love how that's how they find out that Dr. Evil has returned.
Right.
He's on fucking national TV.
He just appears on the Springer Show. Throwing a chair. Like UHF spoofing the Geraldo Rivera
that's right.
Show.
Throwing chairs and haymakers. I love when Jerry gets into it. I mean, this is Bob Barker punching out Happy Gilmore level, you know, like just great moments.
Jerry.
And so now we, after our, do you have anything else to say about the Jerry Springer Show?
If you haven't seen it, go watch it. What a Jerry Springer and Maury. I love that shit.
So let's throw it to our model shoot, though. We've got Rebecca Romijn and we've got Ivana Humpalot.
Yes.
And you know, crazy. I'm not even looking. I'm not even taking a picture of you or whatever.
A lot of good lines in that one. This is definitely a scene that like sticks out in your head a little bit.
Yeah. Is this his like alter ego? Is this his day job? Is that like, or is he just
right? Yeah, well, he does mention being a fan of photography, I believe, in the first one. Or
so I'm just wondering, though, like, does Austin Powers need a cover story, or is he just a spy and a photographer and all these other things?
Yeah, I wonder where the photographer attribute of his character, like, is that a spoof of something else? Is that something James Bond did in one of the movies?
That's nothing that I can think of. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. It's funny. That's
just a chance for Mike Myers to come in and do some silly shit.
Just,
I mean,
throw out some lines that weren't written down beforehand, definitely.
Pretty much, yeah. feels like half of that was just him being Austin Powers. Yeah.
Let's just pad the runtime, and we can squeeze in another a lot of vagina joke. Which so far the movie is just
This one isn't a lot of vagina. That's the next movie. Yeah, but yeah, the Ivana hump a lot.
What was the first movie is a lot of vagina.
Oh right,
because he goes in and seduces her, and Vanessa gets jealous that he went and seduced a lot of vagina.
Yes,
which because it threw me off. I thought the shadow bit later on was from the first movie. I thought it was a callback bit, but that's just because I remember a lot of vagina dropping her robe in front of the paper screen.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, and he answers a call from Basil before the scene. AOL call on his car. Mm-hmm. America Online in Britain? Did they have America Online in Britain?
Well, see, I was noticing how it was when they do present him with the time machine, it's interesting that they chose to give it a left-hand steering wheel.
Right.
Like, why are you giving him this American car? Because you're in England and you're sending him back to 1960s England.
German car covered in the Union Jack.
Yeah. Why?
I didn't even notice he was on the left side. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed. And I was wondering, like, when they send him back in time, is it going to miraculously be on the right? It would have been amazing if the time machine had turned into a 1969 Beetle as well.
Well, his teeth go back to normal.
His teeth go back to normal. It would have been great if the... Which makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. No. Yeah. But let's get our introduction of Mini-Me.
Yes. Yeah. What a good... Just... Starbucks. Me and I are always baffled. My girlfriend and I are always baffled when we see a corporate sponsor agreeing to be like the bad guy in something.
Mm-hmm.
Like technically they are the evil organization Starbucks in the Seattle Space Needle.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
But the other example I can think of off the top of my head is in Community. Subway like takes the soul of of course they got a lot of like play or whatever, but why would they agree to be this like evil akin or adjacent?
I feel like it's just because they have a sense of humor. Like I love social media accounts for corporations where they have where they will talk trash to someone online. I love that shit. It's always so great when they manage to do something like that. And so I think that's just what it is unlike with Fight Club, which I recently watched with Aaron, where Starbucks was okay having their products in it.
Right.
However, when it came to time to destroy an actual coffee shop, they wouldn't let their name be on that.
It had to be a Dunkin'.
It had to be something. Well, no. Contractually, it had to be a Dunkin'.
Fine point. Yeah.
It was some generic one that they made up that when they smash it with the giant globe. And it was because Starbucks didn't want to see their brand destroyed.
Fair enough.
But now in this movie, it is weird that, like, I think this is the same year even.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Unless similar Fight time. Club was 98. But they developed a sense of humor, I guess. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I guess the only real, like, bit they're a part of is just they're investors and their headquarters are based in the Seattle Space Needle, which Dr. Evil is also based in. Until he moves to his island in the 60s. But this is where we're introduced to Mini-Me, as you were saying. And
well, before we get to Mini-Me, we're talking about Starbucks. I might as well just do it. Let's do Sponsorship Corner.
Okay, I've written AOL in Britain, ad time, and then I went, Starbucks has to be Sponsorship Corner if it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. So, yeah, I knew this was happening. Feel free to hit that 15 a few times. He's probably going to be doing this
This one's not that bad.
Really? Because there are a few times that I had to pause. There's a few screens in this movie where it's just like, oh my fucking God.
But everything else, but they all get repeated a few times.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. And also, I missed AOL Online. So there we go.
AOL Online. Good.
Always on the lookout for America product placements always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me is brought to you by Volkswagen, Chevrolet, and Jaguar vehicles. Or I guess Jaguar. Coca-Cola, Evian Water, Starbucks Coffee, Heineken Beer. That one is just a straight up commercial in the middle of this movie for Heineken.
Yeah.
Get your hands off my Heine.
Yeah.
Skoll International Lager and St. Vitus Malt Liquor, Philips Electronics, Virgin Atlantic, Bösendorfer Pianos, Paul Bakery, and the London Times. That Paul Bakery was a real one. Yeah. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Wait, did you think of another one?
You missed another one, yeah.
What's that?
I held on to this one in my head because I was like, I just want to, like, you know, prove that he's doing his work here. But I have to call you out. At one, I think right next to the Virgin sign, there's an ad for Wrigley gum.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. There we go.
I'm almost positive. You can fact check me and email the show.
Yeah. Well, out of the 180 episodes that I've done, I mean, I'm bound to have a couple slip through the cracks, I'm sure. So Wrigley gum as well.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think that was a sponsor in the first one, too, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All right. So, yes, Mini-Me.
Yes. Yes.
While Dr. Evil was gone, they decided to clone him.
What a fantastic addition to the Austin Powers canon. Just tremendous. I could do without Fat Bastard.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Mini-Me has to stay. Yeah, like, Mary fuck kill, you know, it's like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In that situation, yeah. Fat Bastard's
See
going.
See a Fat Bastard,
but,
yeah.
But, like, yeah, Mini-Me just so... He completed me.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And just, I mean, they put him to work right away. I mean, he's running down that desk trying to burn Scott.
He's just like the first introduction.
Man, he just wants to push the death button.
He's that close, too.
He's
he
savage.
Almost gets it, yeah. Oh, I love this movie.
And he gets treated like a cat.
And is... So, oh, right. Mini-Me is introduced, and then they go back in time,
and
right?
Then we get the story of the time machine, yeah.
The story of the time machine, yes.
With all the Zip-Its. This is yes. The Zip-It movie.
Zip-It. Zip. Yeah. Very iconic, and it comes back with the shh.
Yeah. You want to suckle from my Zipple?
Zipple.
Yeah. I do like the sight gag still. I audibly laughed when he does the running for the time machine and bounces off the wall the first time.
I did too.
Yeah. Dr. Evil goes back to 1969, and this is where we get our introduction of Fat Bastard, because he's already got a man in place at the
at
the Ministry of Defense.
We get back. Rob Lowe does a great number two. Frau looking the
exact same
is the fucking
great gag.
One of the funniest things in the movie, hands down.
Yeah. And... Oh, Frau, you looked so
so good. But yes, and then we're introduced to Fat Bastard, which we're introduced through a little monologue that I believe Dr. Evil gives. So he comes to the portal and just tells them how it is. Mm-hmm, he's already done his research, I guess.
Yeah, he's got a man in place. Somehow he sent a message back in time.
Right, yeah,
to get
exactly.
this man in place, yeah.
But given the three things that Dr. Evil tells us about Fat Bastard, the three things we know about Fat Bastard off the top are...
Okay.
Known for lethal temper.
Absolutely.
Unusual eating habits.
A little bit.
Weighs a metric ton.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why the fuck was he hired as a guard? Especially when we later on are shown the disgust that his superiors show him. He openly yells about eating babies.
Mm-hmm.
And why does he have fucking bagpipes?
Well, see...
No other guard
that
has...
That was my thought.
Bagpipes.
See, is maybe he's not actually a guard. Maybe he's, like, the pipe...
It's not a ceremonial role. He's a fucking guard. There's no need for, like, marching formation. He stands there and makes sure nobody fucks with Austin Powers. Why does he have bagpipes?
You know, when I was in London, I watched The Changing of the Guard, and, I mean, you know, they have musicians come out in front of them, you know? Like, that's the big grand one has a band, that a marching band. So this is a one-man marching band. No, it makes no sense. Plot.
Threw me out of it that they would hire this man, mm-hmm. this atrocious individual.
Yeah. A simple Google will tell you that, you know, maybe this is
it was
the
1969,
guy. Yeah. Oh, that's true. True. Yes. The timey-wimey stuff. Because isn't he in the future at one point? So when does he?
Well, yeah, Goldmember. So he must travel to the future unless he freezes him. Now we have to watch fucking Goldmember.
Yeah.
Now we have to watch Goldmember.
See, Goldmember is the one that it's like. Goldmember is the character out of all of Mike Myers' characters that I think we could have done without. Like you say, I'm kind of, you know.
Well, Fat Bastard gives us a few lines. I want my baby back, baby. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very, but Goldmember, yeah, I agree.
He's gold.
I love gold. That wasn't bad.
That wasn't
from
bad.
From what I remember. Yeah.
But Fat Bastard, he gasses everyone with his bagpipes that for some reason he has, and ends up drilling a hole in the ice and stealing his mojo right when he's trying to fuck Ivana Humpalot.
Yes,
he loses his mojo.
Cock blocked right back in 99.
Yeah. Yeah, time works weird in, yeah,
it's the first time it's happening, so, like, then he'd forever have no mojo.
Yeah,
A whole, that goes for you all, too. Don't think about it.
Yeah, exactly. this man's life should have taken a completely different trajectory, because as soon as he was
thawed, he should have, just snapped back to, like, an accountant position or something that. Yeah.
He should have never gotten with Vanessa at all.
Yeah, I guess he was frozen as a super spy, opened up, and then, yeah, he would have just been, like, put in a home or
something. Yeah, this would be, like, the opposite of Demolition Man, where he came out as a seamstress. In this one, he comes out just useless.
that's good.
So we see that the Ministry has their own time machine. I also love how the time machines are also like transporters too, like,
yeah, just, you know, build it in a car,
yeah, and then appear in the middle of a London apartment.
Oh my god, it's a wonder that nobody fucking died.
Yeah, they don't know this car is gonna be there. Like, he just drives into the middle of this dance floor on this, like, top floor flat.
Yeah, how does that work? Like, did they punch in the... They must have punched in the latitude, longitude, because it's not like an Angstrom Levy situation where he's popping out of the same place he left in.
That's exactly what it should be.
Unless they destroyed that building, dug down a few hundred feet, and then built a hangar for some reason since the 60s.
Yeah. Angstrom Levy is a little bit too vague of a reference for anybody that hasn't read Invincible. Well,
I said popping out of the same place he left.
Yeah, it's popping out of the... Yeah.
He didn't time travel from a skyscraper and then fall 100 feet.
Yeah.
Time travel from the ground and then appeared in a skyscraper.
Exactly. Yeah. It's their time machines make no sense either. Yeah.
And the time travel speech beforehand is all you need to know about this movie going into it. Because I went into it with a critical mind and then they hit me with that speech and I went, right.
Yeah.
this is a silly movie.
I guess the point where Basil Exposition looks like straight down the lens and says, and that goes for you as well. I guess that
you
was
all
a
too.
That was a Mike York improvised moment. And they kept it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Which I think he must come from an improv background because he's on Curb too.
Yeah. So Austin Powers goes back in time. His teeth are gross. He does a commercial for Heineken.
Why does teeth go back? He did the commercial for Heineken, and I know it was the 60s, but like no one is like, what the fuck? The 60s, we love to do acid.
Yeah, they're
blah,
all
blah,
just
blah.
Tripping.
They're all just tripping, I guess, and they all hallucinated the same thing that they can touch in the middle of the room. I don't know. Just nobody acknowledges
nobody
it
cares.
Even a little bit. But then
Austin's here. Party time.
And then we cut to...
We meet Robin Swallows.
Yes.
Which is it? Spitzer Swallows. Yeah, and then Felicity Shagwell, our American woman, shows up.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heather Graham. Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I have a... Heather Graham is definitely one of my childhood crushes.
Oh, I was going to say, Heather Graham's my hall pass.
But yeah, this bit, just the why won't you die? This is what I think of when I think of Austin Powers 2. It's the lady trying to position Austin so that the guy can throw a knife at his back. Yeah. And then Austin puts her in the way. And then a bazooka is fired and they fall. And there's a machine gun. And just that is to this day definitely what sticks out. Even when I just think of Austin Powers in general, mm-hmm. that is the funniest shit in the world. Yeah. I love it so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they get away, and they're heading down a road that looks nothing like Southern California, and we get the return of Mustafa, where we do the exact same bit, except this time we don't get to see it.
Yes.
Unlike we with Robin Swallows, you know?
Yes, the return of Will Ferrell slowly dying.
Yeah.
But also, Austin says when he meets Felicity, mm-hmm. he says, powers by reputation. What? Do you care to explain that line to me?
Well, but that's after she says one, right? No?
He says, powers by name, powers by reputation. And then there's a pause, and she goes, well, I'm Felicity by name, or Shagwell by name, and Shag very well by nature.
Yeah.
Was it just to set up that line?
Cause probably, yeah.
Powers by...
Because doesn't he get a look on his face where he's like...
Right,
right. Yeah, okay.
I think
he's like, okay, I'll stick with that.
The second you did that, I can picture it in my head.
Yeah, there is a moment there. Yeah, he has the... Okay, yeah. We'll roll with this. We'll see what happens. And it works out for him. Yeah, 100%. Yes. It was to set up the line.
Yes, and then England in no way looks like Southern California. And just to prove that, when we meet Will Ferrell, there is a red telephone booth.
That's right.
Just off the side of the road.
I love it, yeah. Got a red TARDIS out there.
And the return of the Will Ferrell slowly dying bit. Not a fan of all of these return bits, I'll say. Especially at this point when it hit me again, I'm like, oh, we're doing this again. It's funny. This is one of the funnier ones. But I love the, like, damn, 3 times he's got to answer the question. That is a fantastic bit. Like, they really...
And the, no, you only asked me twice.
Yeah. And then we stipulate
the
on it.
The second was in a second line of questioning. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
But yes.
But then he falls off the cliff.
He falls off the cliff. And he dies in the 60s, injured. I guess, which means he never meets Austin in the future.
Yeah. Don't think about it.
Or no, he never meets like Austin, because that's at the beginning of the movie and he gets killed. Anyways. He doesn't die in the future.
Yeah. So Dr. Evil gets the mojo.
Drinks Austin Powers' ball juice. Canonically brothers. Michael Caine is their dad.
That's true.
He just takes a sip of this juice extracted directly from what we can tell later on when Austin examines the tube. Must have come from his genital area.
Yeah.
Where
all the hormones are kept.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not mojo you're drinking. That's semen.
And he only takes a sip, but there's a lot of red in it, too. He gets a little bit of something else.
It's like purple.
But he only takes a sip.
Yeah.
And then corks it off and
that's all he
uses
needs.
It to taunt. Yeah, I guess so.
It's powerful when it's concentrated.
Because then he rizzes up, what's her face?
Frau,
right?
That's right.
Right in the middle of the secret lair.
And this is where we find out that, Scott wasn't a test tube baby.
Yeah.
He was naturally conceived. They just told him that story because they know he's going to disappear again.
That's a fun little add-on. I like that.
We can make this work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I got to say a couple things. First of all, we have to stress that this is the main room of their base. They have their meeting room in it. This is where they have all their meetings. This is where we see troops of henchmen dressed in that.
Yeah, the death buttons.
Yes, the death buttons.
See all of it, yeah.
Everything's in this room. So is Dr. Evil's bedroom, or is it just his fuck pad?
I think it's just his fuck pad, yeah.
So he has a bedroom on this evil base.
He still has a bedroom.
And he goes, everybody out!
Yeah, I need the room. Give me the room.
A man that is, like, fairly asexual up until he takes a sip of Austin Powers. Like, he doesn't really show interest, and that's why it's believable that Scott's a test tube baby. But a bed rises out of the floor. Curtains rise out of the floor.
Oh, yeah. It's
pits
beautiful
open up
four-poster
next to the bed. What a dangerous, horrible, terrible room.
Mm-hmm.
You step out of bed to get a cup of water in the night after doing your little fuck thing in the fuck pad.
Yeah.
You just fall.
Well,
it is
just a fuck pad. So you don't sleep in the fuck pad.
You do the fucking.
I mean,
then the floor raises when you
leave
the bed.
Which goes against what I was about to suggest, is that maybe it's just a nap room until he discovers that he can use it as a fuck pad.
Well,
in
a nap room, why do you need flowing curtains?
Because you can close them and keep out the ghost of Christmas past.
All right, fair enough. The ghost of Christmas past line, that got me, so I can't argue against that.
Yeah, it's a very elaborate thing for, like you said, a man that does not usually express interest in that sort of stuff. So,
yes, and allegedly he sent notes back from the future where it's like, hey, I need a fuck pad because I'm going to be mojo-rific, shagadelic.
That's got to be what it is. If the plan works, I'm going to get my fuck on. Yeah.
If it goes according to plan.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
Yeah, I also wrote right before this fuck pad thing, just Fat Bastard is kind of insufferable.
Yeah, wanting to eat mini-me.
Just such a big thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody says Fat Bastard, like, as much as my wife, like, it's in the public repertoire, but what an awful, awful, terrible character.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, especially later on after he is bedded.
Yes.
The lovely Heather Graham.
Yes.
So, speaking of which, we go back to her and Austin Powers with their day around London.
We hear I'm a Believer, a Shrek song, and this is where I started to theory craft in my head. Because that bastard at one point says, it's as big as a donkey, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, donkey, Shrek line.
Uh-huh.
Shrek was 2001.
Uh-huh.
This movie was 1999. Chris Farley was famously Shrek and had recorded a bit of Shrek.
Had recorded some of Shrek, yes.
Farley died in 97.
Mm-hmm.
So
the year the first Austin Powers came out.
And Mike Myers recorded Shrek twice. So was he like workshopping the role, testing bits out?
Well,
during this, is that why Fat Bastard came into play? Is he was like, well, this acts, because he did it as a Canadian first.
Yeah.
And then switched to the Scottish accent. So I wonder what Austin Powers 2 has a role, if any.
Maybe, yeah.
Right?
It's kind of like the idea that the Love Guru could have shown up in this movie.
I'll put
that on the shelf for later.
And we're going to do an
but
awful
I can see when we're
on.
Talking about Mojo, where the Love Guru could have come in.
Right.
Like, it makes sense.
No, that totally
weirdly
makes sense. But it's weird that, especially because he's not a part of Saturday Night Live at this point. Like, why is he workshopping characters on his own? Like, the Love... Is he just doing that to himself in the mirror and being like,
I guess
that
so
would be fucking funny.
Yeah.
I should put that in a movie.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Like...
Because at this point, I mean, Mike Myers has, like, always done a second character in his movies. Like, with the exceptions of Wayne's World. And Wayne's World 2. Like, I don't think he does anything extra in that. But, like, even So I Married an Axe Murderer, he plays his own dad in that movie, which is also kind of a version of Fat Bastard and Shrek.
Right, it's Scottish-esque,
Yeah.
But,
Head Pence, no!
But yeah, I want to throw that in because I'm a Believer plays at some point.
Yeah, and of course it is the original Monkees version from the 60s. So they're
because I think he had a lot to do with the music.
Like, is Shrek the dream that Austin Powers is having while he's in cryo sleep?
I could see that
because he would have heard Fat Bastard talking outside of his cell. Give me that mojo. You know, like,
and he's just workshopping it there.
Yeah,
and then he wakes up in the future after his mojo is stolen and goes, I'm just gonna become a voice actor. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that there's a few Shrek things in here, and Shrek has that weird like developmental issue that it
obviously
took a few years to make, so he must have been doing it at the same time. But we cut to Heather Graham and Austin on a wonderful date throughout London.
Yeah, Elvis Costello and Burt Bacharach.
What a fantastic song. That's on
R.I.P. Burt Bacharach.
Yeah, R.I.P. Burt Bacharach. It's on my Feels playlist, this song. Yeah.
I've got one called The Feels, too.
But Austin, notoriously pushy when it comes to our female characters.
Yes.
Is just completely oblivious to baddie Heather Graham trying to bang the whole movie
at him.
The whole movie. Does this count as character development?
I guess so. I don't know. It's a different side of him. I mean, at one point in the first movie, we find out that he's all, hey, I like monogamous now.
Yes. Which it could be, yes, we've tainted Austin with monogamy.
That's right. We've given him a different kind of growth.
He's been hurt, but we start the movie with him going, fuck yeah, I'm single again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's more of a lateral move, but it's, you know, it's still a different kind of development then.
Yeah. And then I believe we must jump around a little bit because my notes are a little out of order. We go back to the past, right?
We go back to Dr. Evil and Frau.
Right.
Where, you know, let's not make this weird, Mama. And then it gets immediately weird when they're getting coffee together.
It gets weird and she says, you know, I don't think I'll love another man ever again.
Yeah.
And this really got me the... Yes. That's true.
But this is where we find out she's late, and then immediately Q Scott from the future.
He pops in, right? Yeah. He comes right back from the, through the spinny portal.
Yeah, so we're not in the future. He comes back to the past.
Back to the past, not the other one.
Yeah. Then we go back to Felicity, who has to plant a tracker on Fat Bastard by any means necessary.
After being shut down by Austin, you know.
Yeah.
He's down bad.
He's out sulking about his lost mojo instead.
And she decides, well, I need to get laid somehow. Mm-hmm. No, she's doing her job.
She's doing her job.
By any means necessary.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, round two.
Just terrible. First of all, I get it's the 60s. We have a time machine, though. We couldn't bring back a better tracker, one that wasn't the size of a lipstick.
Yeah.
And then also, like, what is she thinking? Like, of course he's going to shit that out.
Immediately. Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't in her fucking house or wherever they were banging. Like, of course, just duh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then of course, I mean, because we're in the era of like American Pie, gross out humor, we do have to throw in the will he, won't he with the stool sample on the where you see it coming to nutty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like just the coffee next to the stool sample. What an interesting lab. Why are they warming his shit? Yeah. Why would Felicity sleep with this guy after he knowingly drinks shit? Because he goes, is this shit? And he goes, this coffee smells like shit. And then Basil goes, that's because it is shit, Austin. And he goes, makes sense or whatever
nutty,
he says. And
nutty,
then sips it and then says, it's a bit nutty. Like,
Yeah.
Is this character development? Is this a side effect of losing your mojo?
Yeah, see, that's one of those that when I start looking at this critically, it's like, oh, okay. I could have done without this extra scene with
that's
the stool
funny.
Sample.
He farts and he drinks a little shit. Like, just, ugh.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. And then we cut to Dr. Evil talking about his, is that now or is that later?
Well, we do go back to Dr. Evil, yeah.
Did you have something else to
Putting
say
in
about
it, No, I don't think so, no.
Yeah, just that coffee scene, I could have done without it. And it makes my skin crawl. Even, like, I know it's fake. I know everything. I know it's coming, but just, ugh, why would he do that?
Yeah.
And then we come back to Dr. Evil, and...
He's putting in his demands about his laser.
His laser, and one of my favorite back and forths in this movie. I think maybe my favorite back and forth is Scott leaning forward and going, rip off! And Dr. Evil not understanding and just going, bless you. Just leaning in and saying, bless you. so funny.
And Mini-Me, he's a biter.
Yes, he's a biter.
But yeah, he wants like $100 billion or whatever.
No, $1 trillion.
And Dr. Evil, this is 1969. There isn't that much money in the entire world.
Is that true, though? Like, there must have been a trillion in the whole world.
Had to be, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
you had a war going on in 1969. Exactly, you know, there was.
But President Shawshank.
That's how you solve a depression, as we know from World War II.
Yeah, fair enough. But President Shawshank,
mm-hmm.
did a little theory crafting here, too. He escaped from Shawshank Prison in 1947.
Yeah.
But he did so at the age of 58. Which would make him 80 in 1969.
Is he actually named President Shawshank? Because like the cast list that I have is he's playing Nixon.
No, it's the guy from Shawshank.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's Tim Robbins.
It's Tim Robbins. So is that President Shawshank?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I immediately went, he's connected. He would have been 80 in 1969. So unfortunately, here at I Used to Like This One, we can announce.
We cannot connect the universes.
These are not connected universes. Okay. Shawshank does not canonically run on with Austin Powers, unfortunately.
Phew. Good. That was the pressing question of the day. Yeah.
The second you mentioned Tim Robbins, I'm sure it's been on everybody's mind since the start of this podcast. Yeah. So we can announce here, and I Used to Like This One first, world exclusive, non-connected universes.
So when he is putting in his demands and for his laser, and he shows the footage of Independence Day, like that would be terrifying to someone in the past.
Absolutely, in the 60s, like it runs as a joke, but like that, it looks real without knowing that's like a movie.
Can you imagine going back to the 50s with like Jurassic Park?
Well, you think of the first movies that played in the early 1900s.
Trains coming at me,
and you have to run. Like, imagine sitting in the White House, seeing the White House blow up. I'd have a panic attack. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, in full color.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It would be terrifying. Yeah. So now Austin and Felicity have made their way to Dr. Evil's secret island.
Yes, in their bikinis.
In their bikinis, yeah.
The James Bond bikini homage. Yeah. Fantastic. Heather Graham looks fantastic. And it's Austin Powers, so we got to put him in the bikini, too.
Of course. Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Oh, it's embarrassing. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know we were going to be wearing the same outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I didn't know this was under the wetsuit. My bad.
Yeah. So, this is where we get the shadow joke.
Well, and the sign on the beach, it says, like, Dr. Evil's secret lair, no solicitor.
Yeah.
It's an island in the middle of the Pacific or the Atlantic, wherever the fuck this island is. No solicitors, please.
Makes you want to see the guy with the briefcase turning away.
Oh, that's
getting
like
back in his rowboat.
That's a scene I could see in like an airplane or something.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
That. Just, come on.
But we get the shadow joke in the tent where, and
great scene,
very well done. Like it's
an original inclusion in this movie,
pulling
filled
the stuff
callbacks.
Out of the butt. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it gets called back in the next one, I'm pretty sure. But yeah,
probably.
It's
the hitting the tennis racket to pack it full.
Yeah.
Finally, we're caught, and Austin has to stand up, so Felicity just naturally grabs the bag as well.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly behind his back, and we see a bunch fall out.
Yeah.
Just perfect slapstick humor.
Yeah.
Nothing
like,
better.
The rope, the umbrella. Oh, don't open that in here. Thank you very much.
I'd prefer if you didn't.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
And all the soldiers outside watching.
Just with the perfect faces of disgust. Yeah. Just, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's silly, it's childish, but yeah, it still was quite funny to me.
This is where we jump to a section of the movie where it's just like, we're just throwing in bits we thought of. Because like, first of all, why does Austin set up a tent on this island? He's there to infiltrate. He doesn't need to have a base of operations.
No, no.
He could just hide his shit in a bush and then go for it.
Yeah.
But we gotta do this backlit scene, it's funny. And then while the guards are figuring that out, we can cut to a scene of just...
just the two of us?
Just the two of us. Austin, or not Dawson, sorry. Dr. Evil and Mini-Me doing a full-on music video in the middle of this movie.
Yep.
Must have been good for ads, I guess.
And, like, the whole song.
The whole song.
Yeah, it's not even, like, they cut back for a couple of verses. They, like...
And it starts with a different song, no? Or am I thinking of this wrong?
Yeah, they're like, just sitting there playing piano, and
what
everyone claps.
What if God was one
of... Oh, yeah.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah, I wrote that.
I wrote that.
Yeah, and then we start off with that, and then it goes to, yeah, let's just knock out the entire Will Smith rap right now.
We both hand each other microphones, and yeah, we just go for it. Yeah. Classic, 90s music video style.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
From the first time Frau said I had a clone.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just them. They do the chorus, but they do their
and
own
the
rapping.
Looks from Seth Green.
Yes.
I mean,
the cut back between.
Well, you
all
say
the
they do their own rapping. I mean, Mini-Me does not talk.
Right.
He does a couple ees and that's about it.
But
right?
the Dr. Evil section is original for the movie.
It is.
It's
yeah,
not like
absolutely.
They're doing the Will Smith rap, but yeah. Just Dr. Evil spits bars. And they have an outfit change in the middle of it. Then, just awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, it makes absolutely no fucking sense. Like, I get Dr. Evil's a megalomaniac or whatever, and he probably would make people sit for these. But, like,
it's
not, like, a thing that needs to be included in the movie.
No.
And especially when I think he's found out that Austin... Or, no, the scene ends with him finding out that Austin's on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's it, okay.
Yeah, and Austin is taken prisoner. And then this is the point where, when he's taken prisoner, Dr. Evil blasts off to the moon.
Yes.
Yeah, but
8 feet from everybody else in that base.
Yeah.
There's a rocket, and then everybody's sitting at a table not 3 feet from the edge of that platform.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like NASA has a viewing area that is like a mile away or anything. Yeah,
no, you're across a bay or whatever from what I'm aware. Like, you're a good fucking distance away.
Yeah,
because the second that like rocket gets above that platform, I'm sorry, they're all
they're all toast. Yeah, quite literally. Yeah.
But the scooter, they both hop into a scooter. Just to travel 3 feet around the table,
mm-hmm.
Then they walk up to the rocket. Just awesome. Just, and then they hop off. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to go to the moon.
Yeah. And Austin, meanwhile, is like all salty in his cell with Felicity because she had to have sex with Fat Bastard.
Had to have sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't just fool around. I mean, you can get naked and fool around.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
She went for it, though.
She went for it, yeah.
She's committed to her job.
Well, she stuck something in his butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, she initiated part two.
Part two.
Yeah, when Dr. Evil blasts off to the moon, that is, of course, where we do get the radar penis jokes.
Yes, our return bit, but I said this one is probably the funniest one.
It is very funny, I thought, yeah.
Pecker!
Yeah. Giant pecker. Woody? I think Woody's later, isn't he?
Woody is the second, the going back to the dick joke I wrote later, that was the dumb part, was they filmed 30 more scenes for it and went, we probably can't put 6 minutes of this in the middle of the movie.
In the middle of the movie,
so
we have to do it later. Yeah, we'll do one more, later. Yeah. Yeah, because Willie Nelson is one of the jokes in there as well,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah,
the random
looks like
Willie
a giant
Nelson
Willie
cameo.
Yeah, so we get all the penis jokes, and then Austin and Felicity escape the one inept guard by showing the boobs. Mommy!
Yeah, I said death by flashing.
Death by flashing. It might work.
It
might work.
It'd get me. Yeah. I would stumble forth into lava, having seen Heather Graham's
saying
boobs.
Mommy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then they hitch a ride on Apollo 11. I do like the detail that their suits.
NSA.
Yeah, they don't actually say NASA, but
it's
the logo
National
looks
Space Agency.
Yeah, it looks very similar to the NASA logo.
It's the
but,
exact same without an A, basically.
Yeah, see, and NASA is another one of those companies where, you know, we were talking about Starbucks having a sense of humor to put their name on this movie. You know, NASA is one of those ones that they're notorious for. They have to approve of a script before you can use
it's
their name.
It's funny. It's like you'd think that they just want to, like, hey, join NASA. Yeah, we have a good sense of humor. Come be an astronaut or something. But
Castaway famously to get the FedEx sponsorship.
Yeah.
That was one of those ones. FedEx had a lot of very specific rules.
That's why he's in the beginning saying, like, hey, this is how we do things at FedEx.
Well,
we're so good.
But it's not even that. It was they couldn't show that it was pilot error. The reason for the malfunction couldn't have anything that was a negative reflection on FedEx.
They wouldn't hire,
So, it same sort of thing here with NASA.
NASA wouldn't let Austin Powers on.
They're like, we're not going to sign off on this one, even though you're on Apollo 11.
They let Austin and Felicity on Apollo 11, so I'm assuming that only Neil Armstrong was allowed. Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins were left on Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Collins didn't ever even get to step foot on the moon.
They got into the extra seats.
There were two more seats.
No, I don't know. Don't you know that space shuttles are equipped with like a little jump seat just in case someone needs to hitch
just
a ride to outer space?
Yeah,
I know. Poor Michael Collins. He goes all that way
just to orbit it.
Yeah.
I mean, cool, but
it's like, can I have a turn, guys?
Yeah. Can we just hop down there for a sec?
Yeah, just a sec.
Yeah. They talk about blowing up the moon at 1.2. I forget the context of that, but somebody says, would you miss the moon? Would you? I think the president
yeah.
Shawshank
yeah, oh,
is
yeah,
cause
they're,
talking about nuking the moon.
They're going to nuke the moon.
And he says,
yeah.
Would you miss the moon? Would you?
Yeah.
And I just, would you? Would you miss the moon?
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Well, everything
I
would
totally
flood,
miss the moon.
For one.
Well, right. Yes. The world, without the whole gravitational pull of the moon, would you just miss it being in the night sky?
It would be weird. It's actually...
Especially without stars in a city.
Yeah, I've gone down to Mexico in February.
Right.
And for some reason, moonrise isn't... Just because of the way the Earth is angled at that time of year,
right.
Moonrise happens so late. So... Good
portion of the night.
When I'm in Mexico, I don't usually see the moon, and it is a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Do you know they apparently see different moon faces in different parts of the world?
Oh, yeah?
You can see different sections of the moon in different parts of the world.
Hmm.
That's one I didn't think was... Because I thought it just the one side faced us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently you get to see a little bit of the side or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's small enough, I guess.
Yeah. Not like the full... dark side of the moon.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't see the full back of it. Yeah.
Well, everyone, though, speaking of the moon, everyone is on the moon now.
Yes. Guns in space. What a terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Just firing bullets through windows and hoping it doesn't fire through the window that's adjacent to the outdoors.
Yeah. And apparently they must have synthetic gravity or something because they're walking normally down the hallway.
Walking normally. Yeah. But there are also bits... Is at some point the gravity turned off or something like that? I feel like there's a bit where people are floating a little bit.
Maybe. I
watched this yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe
it's weird. I've
seen it a thousand times.
Yeah.
But we get Austin meeting Mini-Me.
Fight between Mini-Me where he just rips a hole in his and crawls in.
Crawls in and then Austin has to shit him into space. But the way Mini-Me just bounces off that fucking pole when Austin throws him at it is just so funny. Just a dummy hitting the pole and bouncing off the ground and him going, aw, poor little guy.
But yeah, he flushes him out into space, and then we end up getting the scene where he tries to rescue Felicity before she gets gassed.
Yes.
And we get the whole Austin from 10 minutes ago scene, which becomes important later, I guess.
Yeah, in the post credits or in the during credits scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they had time travel machines, blah blah blah, but that whole you think Austin would just go for, I guess he's trying to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just,
yeah.
Funny, but what a weird way to end that. He should have ended it a different way, I think, instead of the two Austins.
There is a couple of funny bits in there, though, like the moment where he is coaching Dr. Evil on what he needs to say. Yeah, laser.
Yes. He's trying to come up with the word, and Austin leans in and tells him what the word is, and he goes, oh, thank you, thank you.
Yeah. So there are a couple funny moments in there. But it is bizarre whatever.
It's just like they're trying to pad the runtime.
We've got a time machine. We're going to fucking use it.
Because I was also going to say, why didn't he just shoot her out of the glass? Obviously, he's a good shot because he boom, 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 shoots like 5 guards dead right there.
Yeah.
And then goes to shoot, I noticed in the scene, the glass.
Uh-huh.
But he's out of bullets.
Yeah.
So he has to throw the gun to the side, and that's why he judo kick.
Yeah. Well, see, and I guess they... Wikipedia missed that particular character that he plays as well when it comes to the cast list.
10 minutes ago, Austin.
Yeah, he needs to be 10 minutes ago, Austin, as well. Yeah.
Fair enough. So. Different character.
But Austin Powers saves the day. And they travel back to 1999 because, yeah, to get away from the explosion. So they can travel back in time from the moon to Earth.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
So the whole traveling from an aircraft hangar to the middle of a, that makes sense then.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And, even though they're two different, it's a portal versus a Volkswagen car, Back to the Future-esque thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and Felicity, well, see, that's the thing about Back to the Future. Right. See, he goes back in time in the mall parking lot, but it's just a farm in the past. Like,
yeah,
see,
so obviously he appears in the...
Yeah. And he turns Twin Pine Mall into Lone Pine Mall.
They should have just put half a... it's funny, but they should have just put half a second of thought into the time travel. If you're going to do time travel, put just half a second of thought into it.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever. Yeah, he convinces...
Very easily.
He very easily convinces Felicity to come back to 1999 with him. And then we get like a final scene with Fat Bastard. And then just a dance party. He knocks out Fat Bastard, but he, a dance party that just forms on top of Fat Bastard, I guess.
Yeah, we just, continue.
It's like the first movie with the shoe guy, exactly. Where it's, they just wheel him out into the hallway and...
The convicted murderer, I forget his name, wanders into the room, throws a shoe, and they defeat him. It's, this movie is just fan service before... Fan service was ever really a thing.
True.
Like, they really went...
Maybe it's the originator of fan service.
I was
going to
say, like, it's like Austin Powers 2. What more can you do from Austin Powers other than spoof more James Bond and call back to some of the things that worked in the original, so...
And yet, I get a second repeat of the dick joke to go out on.
Yes. Yeah. The callback to the callback's callback is... That I could do without.
Yeah.
Clearly, they got... 4 or 5 more cameos that they're like, well, we'll squeeze this in at the end, because that's when Woody Harrelson comes in, and that's when Jennifer Coolidge appears,
and then we're out on the credits, and we get some Jerry Springer during the credits, we get the ménage à trois scene during the credits, and if you wait around till the very end, another post-credit scene in one of these old movies that is not an MCU movie, and that's we get an extra Mustafa moment.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
I must have turned it off once the mid-credits stopped.
Yeah. At the very end, we just, we go back to, we're just looking at the cliff, and we're like, hello? Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And so there we go. That is Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Oh, boy. Now, Chris, on IMDb, it scored 6.6 out of 10, has a Metascore of 59, on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 53% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 71%. But Chris, those are just numbers. Like, I guess, like, Roughing Up Robin Swallows, Why Won't You Die? No, I don't like that one. Like a judo kick to save your girlfriend? Hit us with some reviews.
Okay, so I similar to last week, I pulled up a 5-star and a 1-star review just to give us both sides of the spectrum. Let's start with, what do you think? Bad news or good news first?
I think we've been talking positively, so let's start with the bad news. How about that?
Okay, we've got 1-star.
Right.
Same joke, different movie. How exciting. I have no idea why I watched this movie, and I suspect that I never will.
What?
Yeah, that part's interesting.
Perhaps that's a fascinating sentence.
Yeah, perhaps it was sheer boredom or that good old attention span problem that all Americans have. Take it from me. Don't watch this movie, because you'll just wake up the next day and realize how stupid you were for wasting $7.50 on such a piece of garbage. And people complain about Jar Jar being racist and prejudicial. You've got Fat Bastard and Mini-Me that make fun of fat and tiny people, respectively. And that's the end of that.
Wow.
He's very particular, that guy.
So is this someone that is British then? Like, because they the way that they said seven, you know,
must be a fat or small Scottish person.
Yeah, like the way that you said, like, seven, like, didn't you say £7.50 or whatever? Like
$7.50.
$7.50. So yeah. Even the way that they lay it out in their review.
Well, I said it weird. It just says 7.50 with the dollar sign in front of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it had like $7.00 Okay. Or 50 or okay. Never mind.
But clearly they paid to rent it, which yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't own it, I could see $8 maybe being a waste if you hadn't seen the first one and weren't a fan, but I don't think it's a waste. I'd buy a DVD for $8. Yeah.
True. Yeah.
I think I own Austin Powers 1, not Austin Powers 2. I bought all my favorite movies. I own all the Batman ones on DVD.
Yeah.
And then, swapping over to the end of the spectrum, the other end of the spectrum, with a 5-star, this one was actually posted relatively recently, five months ago, it says.
Oh, wow.
I love Austin Powers. It's one franchise that doesn't get old or lower in quality as time progresses and sequels come out. Personally, this one is my favorite, but take your pick. They are all phenomenal. I don't want to spoil anything in this review, but suffice it to say, simply smashing, baby.
Mm.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I love this movie. I think all of those numbers you gave at the start of the segment are a little low, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can understand the 50s coming from critics, 53 and 59 coming from critics, but 6.6 and 71 from audiences. I could think that maybe those should be a bit higher, but on the other hand, it's a messy movie. You know, the one review, the 1 out of 10 review that was just kind of like a rehash of all the same old jokes, we pointed out some of the jokes that it's like, I could have done without that one.
Yes.
I could have done it without Fat Bastard.
Yeah.
But the fact that this brought us Mini-Me, the fact that, you know, like some of the jokes that are just still so funny in this movie, and it's stupid. It's not supposed to make sense.
Exactly, yes.
I can say, yeah, it's a 7 out of 10 movie, but it still made me laugh. I still found it hilarious. That's kind of my thought on it. It's still funny, but boy, watching it critically, it is a dumb as fuck.
I'm just so shocked that I've seen it so many times and still there's so many bits in this movie that just made me laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah,
couldn't stop. So 10 out of 10 in my books.
10 out of 10 for you. All right. Well, there we go. That is Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy. If you like that show, you know, help us out. Tell someone. Tell someone you like and tell someone you don't like. Tell anyone about our show. You know, and because word of mouth is so much more personal.
You, right there, Bradley, I see you. You're sitting on the train right now. Lean over right next to you and just tell that guy in the toque.
Hey, have you heard this?
Have you heard about You Select
Do you
this
like
one?
Movies? Check out this show.
They're talking about Austin Powers right now. You ever heard of that one?
Or go tell the world. Go on to whatever podcast app you listen to and give us 5 stars, give us 10 stars, give us as many stars as you are allowed to give, and then give us an extra one on top of that. Or go over or if you want to be a financial supporter of the show and donate, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and become part of our Patreon family. And then you're an executive producer, so you get a shout out like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
Josh has been writing this off on his taxes for years as a donation, a charitable donation. So if you want to join Josh.
Has he?
Definitely.
I don't know if you can write this off.
I've been in touch with him.
A...
He is writing it off. I don't know if he can.
I doubt it.
But
I
he
doubt
is.
He can.
So if you've been meaning to make a charitable donation to write something off on your taxes.
Yeah.
This
or
is the
if
to do
you're,
it.
You know, with the IRS, I didn't say his name out loud, did I?
Yeah, no. And he pays his taxes regularly.
Yeah. And if you want to contact us, email us at iusedtolikethisone@gmail.com. Check out our website. Go follow us on social media. Slip into our DMs if you want. You know, I kind of like having it slipped in my DM every once in a while.
Just send a rating out of 10 and we'll try to figure out what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter and the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Chris, Daddy Issues Month. I'm having a lot of fun here. Next up, we are going to another one of my favorites from the 90s when it comes to comedic actors. I mean,
yes, this is definitely his year too. We got Jim Carrey, not Mike Myers.
Jim Carrey, Mike Myers, and of course, Adam Sandler.
I'd put that as the comedic trio of the 90s.
Yeah,
for
finally,
sure, yeah.
Finally going for another Adam Sandler movie. I think it's been too long since I've done one on this show. So.
Yeah, you haven't done many?
No. So for Daddy Issues, Big Daddy.
Of course.
Big Daddy.
We're going to do the one with Daddy in the title, yeah.
Yeah, we've done Happy Gilmore and we've done
Mr.
Deeds.
Yeah.
And really, I think that's it. So, Big Daddy, we're going for sentimental Adam Sandler. Yeah. Now, instead of like all serious Adam Sandler like he is these days.
Yeah, I was going to say Uncut Gems, Punch Drunk Love, Spaceman, Adam Sandler. Yeah.
Well, there we go. So, next week, yeah, Big Daddy. So, until next week, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Chris Wells.
And we'll see you for Big Daddy on I Used to Like This One.